This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Thursday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Alice Jovich from Arlington, Texas, and you are listening to a special trail riding episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 15th, episode 914. This episode is brought to you by the North American Trail Ride Conference and Ride Alert. Good morning, Horse World.
Thursday. I'm so happy it's Thursday.
Just an ordinary day.
If you love to ride horses but you'd rather ride on a trail than in an arena, I think I know a sport just for you.
We're out. We're getting to the first mark. We're a little ahead of time.
Expect nothing less than full-blown chaos.
I like that opener, Jennifer. You did a good job with that. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you being here. And it is our trail riding episode, and we have Alice back with us. Hi, Alice.
Hi, how are you?
All right, terrific. We need to – Alice had a minor technical difficulty right before the show, so why don't we chat with Jennifer for a minute and see, can you try and get connected through the normal system?
Yes, I will do that now.
All right, sounds good. Okay. So while Alice is doing that, good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. It's been one of those mornings. Everything.
Yeah. Alice's internet went out. Alice's internet went out. Our internet went out this morning for about a half an hour. We weren't sure we were going to get a show on the air today. So it's.
We were going to be driving down the street to the headquarters of Easy Signs Online, and we were going to be broadcasting live from Easy Signs Online at the rate we were going.
Yes, it was that close for sure. And we do have a fun show prepared for you. Of course, Alice is here on the third Thursday of every month, part of the trail ride episode that we do, and that's in cooperation with the North American Trail Ride Conference. And she'll be back here in just one second. Tomorrow morning on the show, I wanted to remind everybody that it's really bad ads time. So you can join us tomorrow morning here on the show. If you haven't gotten your ads in to Jennifer yet, hop onto Craigslist, find some really bad horse ads, send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. We have a terrific prize for them tomorrow, don't we, Jennifer? An Outback product.
Yes, we do. We have an Outback Packaroo Duster available for the winner of the best worst ad. And the Packaroos are lightweight, breathable, waterproof clothing that packs into its own attached package, so you can toss it into your saddlebags, your tack trunk, or your glove compartment.
Perfect for trail riders. Perfect for trail riders. Well, let's talk to Alice. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning.
You're through now? You're good?
I think so. It's one of those mornings where it makes me really happy that I have a hot spot in addition to my right before the call started, it just
cut out. We'll see how this works out. It's Alice's first attempt here, so at trying this technology, so we'll see how this works out. Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
On today's North American Trail Ride Conference episode, we start out our ride by getting to know some obstacles, compliments of Alice's knowledge, and mid-ride we learn about how TLAR can help riders and ride managers be better prepared for the unexpected with our favorite first responder, Dr. Jimenez. And just as we approach the finish flags, Teresa McManus tells us why Ride Alert is taking the lead in horse rider and property identification. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Hey, Dr. G is back today. So of all you Dr. G fans out there, and I know there was a lot of you, she'll be back today. And I think she gets deployed here, as we talked about, over the next month or so. So this will be our last chance to talk to her before she heads overseas. We're very excited about that. Well, Alice, you've been a busy girl since we talked to you last out and about. So tell us about some of your trail rides and some of the things you've been up to.
Well, right after the first show last month, my daughter and I went to Polk Canyon Ranch in Kittaquay, Texas, and did a competition there. And it's just a beautiful place to ride. It's near Caprock Canyon State Park, kind of halfway between Amarillo and Texas. And it's just beautiful. It's like it's terrain that I don't see in the Dallas-Fort Worth area at all. And I'm not sure there's many places that look like this place. It's just these huge, open canyon areas and, you know, some big climbs. And it's challenging but not super difficult. So it's not really steep, you know, or really windy. We had pretty good weather as far as the temperature goes, but it was super windy. And as we talked with Alana last month, this is the place where I went where my tent blew over a few years ago. I mean, and it was windier than that time. So it made me really happy that I sleep in my Suburban because the tent would have been toast. It was like 40, 50 mile an hour winds. It was
so
crazy.
Your Suburban didn't blow over because that'd be really bad.
No, the Suburban did not blow over. It wasn't. That would be really bad. This is a big old Suburban, so that would be pretty tricky. But yeah, they just built bathhouses at Polk Canyon Ranch, and so they had just finished them like noon on the day that we got there for the ride. So we had hot showers and bathrooms, which is new for that place. And they are open all the time. People can go there and ride anytime they want. Put on a competition there every so often. So it was a lot of fun. My most exciting moment, though, was on the second day toward the end, we were kind of moseying along. And my horse has a bad habit of hugging the edges of the trails. He just, I don't really understand why he does that, but it's just his preference to be kind of not in the middle, but kind of on the edge. And we almost stepped right on a rattlesnake. So that was not cool. We're going along, and all of a sudden I heard this rattle, and I didn't look for it. I knew it was on my left toward his left leg, and I just gigged him out of the way. And then my friends that I was with wanted to go back and look at the snake. They're like, did you get a picture of it? It's like, no, I didn't get a picture of it. I want to see the snake.
You know, you do pictures of snakes when you can get about 10 feet away and take a nice snake picture. That's when you do pictures of snakes, not when they're right on the trail right beside your horse.
Right, and you know, but my horse didn't even blink. And he's pretty seasoned. He's 12, coming on 13, and we've been doing this since 2008. But he didn't even look at it. He didn't blink. It's like he was like, why are you spurring me, Mom? I'm fine. So, but
Jennifer was riding in our neighborhood here last year, and she has a video of it. On her quarter horse, riding down the side of the road, and right in the middle of the road was about a 6-foot rattlesnake. And she did get a video of it crossing the road because she could be 10 feet away. But didn't Beaker want to say hi to it, too? He was trying to stick his nose down there and see what it was?
Yeah, he's got this thing that he's been trained that if you get closer to objects that are scary, there is a reward involved. That should kind of de-spook him, so to speak. So when he heard the rattlesnake and he saw it slithering across the road, he thought, dang, if I go up and touch that sucker, she's going to give me a horse cookie.
Well, there would have been a reward.
Yeah.
Not sure he would have liked it.
Yeah.
But, you know, in all the years I've spent riding, I hear people talk, oh, I saw a snake here, I saw a snake there. Honestly, that's the first time I've ever personally had a snake encounter. So I hope that it's a long time before that happens again.
Yeah, I was going to say, one's enough, right?
Right. So, and then a couple weekends. Oh, sorry.
Did you get any other wildlife? Did you get any other wildlife on this particular trip? No bears?
No, not there. I mean, they have a lot of the big mule deer, but I didn't see any this time. I didn't see any. We probably scared them all off with all our riding.
Yeah, we did the endurance show here on Tuesday and had a girl on from Australia who does endurance riding there, and they have a big problem with the kangaroos because they'll hop out of the woods and just go right over the horse's head. You know, that wouldn't freak you out.
No, that would be awful. No, they do have a lot of wild hogs. They joke in Texas that if you don't have pigs, you will have pigs. So it's a real problem.
That's funny.
Oh, you mean as in wild pigs?
Wild pigs, they're awful. We have lots of
pigs. Oh, you have
them
in Texas too? We have those in Florida. Yeah, we have
those. Oh, yeah, they're terrible. They're really bad. The place where we – they're really terrible there. And they trap, you know, there's no pig season. You can hunt pigs anytime you want.
Well, tell us, so you went on you were involved in another ride too, right?
Right. I manage a ride at Trace Trails in Athens, Texas. It was 2 weeks ago, and it came off really well. I have a really awesome team that I've worked with now. This is the second time the three of us have worked together, but my ride secretary and I have done four rides together. So we've been a team since before we knew our trail master. And she spent hours and hours. Her name is Annette Griffin. She spent hours and hours cleaning trail, cutting down trail. You know, there's this place is a forest, and a lot of the wood has died in the drought. So now this year they're getting a lot of rain and a lot of wind. And every time we get something fixed, something else blows over. So even like 2 days before the ride, she and her boyfriend were out there cutting down trees and cutting a new trail or going around a big log they couldn't get taken care of in time, because it was just, you know, like a never-ending thing that has to be done. It's the forest, you know, the forest is alive, so it's always, things are always falling and things are always changing. But I think the most fun part of that ride was, again, Annette wrote us a rap to introduce ourselves. Usually we just say, okay, I'm Alice, I'm the trail manager, and I'm the ride manager, and this is Annette, she's the trail master. She wrote us all a rap to do for everybody, to tell us who we were, and everything rhymed. It was awesome. So,
please tell me it wasn't to the music Happy or the Frozen music. Please tell me it wasn't to one of those two.
No, we didn't actually have any music. We just kind of set it in rhythm.
Okay, we
couldn't find anyone who was a talented beatboxer. So, like, when we manage a ride, usually you have a whole team that puts the thing together. And I'm the manager, so which means I have to find and fill all the other positions. And the trail master is the person who actually figures out what trails we're going to use, or if the trail isn't already marked, she will assemble people to go and mark the trail. In the case of Trace Trails, they have permanently marked trails because they also have endurance rides there. And so we just had to make sure the mileage was correct, because in NATRC, the novice and CP riders have to ride a minimum of 30 miles for both days, and the open riders have to ride a minimum of 50 miles. So we have to make sure that whatever trail we're using meets those criteria. Because with everybody carrying GPSs, if somebody came in and said, oh, look, this trail was only 29 miles long, there could be some contention about the ride standing and the points could be thrown out. So obviously you don't want that to happen. So, and then I have to have like a secretary, and she's the person who gets all the paperwork ready and checks the people in when they come to the ride. And then there's a pulse and respiration chair. And I always have a ride cook, because I don't want to think about food. I mean, I want to eat the food, but I don't want to have to think about getting the food ready. And, you know, it takes a whole team of people to accomplish all these things. And I got fussed at by my trail master because I tend to micromanage a little bit. And so she sat me down and she's like, I got this. You go do something else. And it was the most liberating conversation of my whole life.
I could be the cook guy. I could have a chuck wagon.
You could be
I need
the
to
cook.
Get a chuck wagon one of these days. And I need to go out and cook for competitive trail rides. I could do that.
Oh, that
you
would
could
be
do
awesome.
That, totally.
I could have my percherons, pull my chuck wagon out to the ride. Yep, I could do that. You know what? I don't think little scooter is going to pull the chuck wagon. I think I'd probably need something bigger.
Only if we're eating salad. It's going to be a light lunch. PD scooter's pulling chuck wagon.
So, how many people will you get at that ride? How many showed up? How many competitors?
Well, I had, I think I topped out at around 42 or 43 riders, but then what happens the week before, things happen, and then I ended up with 38 riders. And I had 11 of those people were just riding one day. So I had eight riders on Saturday that just rode Saturday, and I had three riders on Sunday that just rode Sunday. And so then the others rode both. So, but that's right now, that's about average for us. That our ridership has been a little bit lower than we'd like. 10 years ago when I started, we would have rides. There was a ride down in Angelina National Forest, and the ride would open. This is before the computer systems. The ride would open, and you were allowed, and there would be a waiting list by the end of the day, by the time the people received their
The difference there is gas prices were $2.69 a gallon. That's why.
Absolutely.
Completely.
Absolutely.
That's a huge effect. Yeah.
Alice, you're breaking up on us a bit here. Are you calling through your hotspot right now?
Yeah, I can switch. Hey.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to switch. So we'll Jennifer and I will hold the fort down here while you do that, because you are breaking up on us a bit. That is one of the disadvantages that we have to our co-hosts being out on farms in rural areas. It's something that we have to deal with. But you know what? We're horse people, so we're not calling usually from the city.
Right.
You know, we are out in rural areas.
Right. Us horse people get it. We understand.
Yes. That's right, because we always are having trouble with phone reception.
Right.
I have to literally, to get phone reception at our farm here, I have to walk to the front door or go out in the front porch. If I am in my office, in the studio, or if I am in anywhere in the back part of the house, I can't get phone reception. So yours is a little better than mine. I know.
It's a telephone company conspiracy.
And it's not like we live about, 6 miles outside of Ocala, so it's not like we're in the middle of nowhere.
No, we're on the edge of nowhere. Ocala is the edge of nowhere.
I think we might have Alice back. Alice, is that you?
I'm back.
Okay, good. You sound better, too. All right.
Well,
let's hope.
It is a
let's
conspiracy.
Hope you're better.
I heard that.
It's one of the disadvantages, as we said, of living on a farm. That's what happens.
Yeah, but I don't live on a farm. I live 3 blocks from the Dallas Cowboys Stadium in the middle of Arlington, Texas.
All right, well, then there's no excuse for you.
There's no excuse. This shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, you definitely shouldn't have that problem. Oh, do you just walk over on game days and just eat people's food and just go through the tailgate?
No, usually I head south to where my horses live and get away from the noise.
And hide.
That's right.
I would love doing that. Just go tailgate to tailgate. Just make your way through it. As long as you're wearing Dallas gear, they'll just say, come on in.
I never even thought about it.
Oh, I'm sure you could get good south by the time you're done with tailgating at the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. Well, let's switch gears and go to your product review. This is the time of the show when we talk about a product that you use that you think that other trail riders might like to hear about.
Okay, well, my product review today is for Nancy Mitts and Stable Gear Tack. She custom makes bridles, breast collars, reins, and other tack in lots of different colors in beta and biothane. And she also, you know, sells the stuff that endurance companies sell. She has helmets and other gear for the trail. I met Nancy at an endurance ride, actually, here in Texas. But she does tend to travel to different rides in different parts of the country. She is located in Missouri. But she's just a really nice lady to talk to, and she will help you measure your horse's head and work with you on the colors, and she sends out swatches so you can pick exactly what you want. You can touch it and feel it before you order it. She's done all the bridles that our horses are wearing. I bought a headband or a brow band for my gelding that was brown and had little pieces of turquoise in it. And then I used that to inspire the rest of the bridle that she made for me. So the cheek pieces match the turquoise. And so I have that whole brown and turquoise thing going with him. And then my daughter has a lime green beta bridle with some navy blue overlay. And my mare wears a bright pink bridle with some sparkly blue overlay. And her, she has easy boots that match. So blue easy boots with pink power straps. So it suits her princess personality. So, but they, she just has a really great line of products, and she's really good to work with. So, her website
now,
I use
Beta Harness, and in Florida here, as a matter of fact, Jennifer rides in all Beta as well, saddles and everything. Is that something that's very popular for the trail riders?
Yes. The Beta is very popular because when it gets dirty, you can either throw it in the dishwasher, or I suppose you could throw it in the washing machine, but it makes a racket. So I usually throw it in the dishwasher. Or, you know, when you get off the trail, you can just drop the whole thing in a bucket of sudsy water. So it stays cleaner than, you know, you don't have to sit down with the leather. I know with leather, I like leather. But then I'm like, oh, I don't have time to clean that right now, so I'll do it later. And then the next thing I know, I have a nasty bridle that is beyond saving because I just never took the time to take care of it properly.
Well, you're in Texas too, where it's hot. In Florida here, we have the heat and the humidity issue, so everything molds. If you have leather, you have to keep it in the house. You can't leave it out in the barn or in the tack room. Because
yes.
It will be green in about 3 days.
Yeah, I actually had that happen more when I lived in Kentucky than I do here in Texas. But I've had that problem too. It's disgusting. You go out to ride and you have green fuzz growing all over
yep.
your saddle.
Yeah. Now, do you use a Beta saddle or are you using leather saddle?
No, I ride in a Specialized saddle, which is leather. I have had some of the combo, you know, half leather, half Cordura saddles, and I like them as well. But currently, I use leather saddles.
Okay.
But I'm not very good about cleaning them either. I usually pay my daughter to do that because she loves.
You should be a fox
that.
Hunter. They never clean this stuff.
Hey!
No offense to all our fox hunters out there, but you really don't. So
send your hate mail to Glenn. That's two N's.
Yeah. I'm right, and you know it. You know I'm right. Well, now, the totally lost my train of thought. Jennifer had some questions for you, actually.
Okay.
You did. You said you had some questions.
Yeah, we were going to talk just a little bit about the obstacles in the trail ride. Because unlike endurance riding, which is there are no obstacles and it is not judged, it is literally a race. The NATRC has judging, and there are obstacles. Now, my first question is, are the obstacles man-made, I guess is the best way to describe it, because online you look at pictures and you look at videos, you see different types of trail competitions. The obstacles are very obviously man-made and placed where they are. Or are all the obstacles required to be literally part of the existing landscape? Do you build things?
We try not to in NATRC. Typically, there is enough natural terrain to each place that there's no reason to set anything up. Though we got a kick out of our judges last weekend because there was an endurance ride 3 weeks before our NATRC ride. So we had cleaned the trails really well so that they could run however fast they wanted to go.
Right.
And
they're
the
moving along at a good clip. Yeah.
Right. And so the judges came in and said, well, we're going to pull some of this downfall back over the trail. And they kind of cracked us up because we had spent so much time cleaning off the trail. But we try not to. In our case, 2 weeks ago, there was a really challenging gate that wanted to blow back at people, and so they used that for one of the obstacles. There was a log that was already in the trail that was too big to have moved, and they used that for an obstacle. There's almost always a place where you can do an up and a down or some natural water, and so they use that. You know, if you get in a situation – sometimes, you know, but because of the timing of the ride and having to get the judges to their different spots, you could end up in a situation where you have to create something, but you always try to create something from materials on hand. You don't bring stuff in to to create something. It's supposed to be natural and native to the terrain. And so for us, we ride in places that have a lot of gates. So a gate is natural and native to the terrain, but we try really hard not to set up, say, a rope gate to simulate a gate because that's not part of the terrain.
Got it. So you wouldn't likely go on an NATRC ride and be required to walk across a wooden bridge obstacle unless the trail had a wooden bridge.
Correct.
Already.
Right. And we do have trails that have wooden bridges. So, you know, that could definitely happen. And some of the bridges look kind of funny. In fact, one of the places we like to ride has a big metal bridge, and they used that for an open obstacle one year. And you could kind of see through it. It was like a great bridge. And the horses could see through it. And I ride at this place for fun quite a bit, and the horses just don't like it. They'll go across it because we ask them to, but they would really rather just not.
I don't like
those either,
to be honest with you.
I don't like
Well, we used to belong to a carriage club, and we used to go on drives every weekend in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, and we used to have the covered bridges that we would go across, the pretty covered bridges that you see in all the pictures. And we had a number of those that we had to cross, and part of the problem with that is it has a wooden deck, but you can't see through it, but it's a wooden deck. So when the horses and the carriages would get in there, the wooden deck, because it's covered, would echo like crazy, and none of them liked that. We didn't like that loud echoing in there. That was always a fun one to try and get 40 carriages across.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Well, and with our metal bridge, we discovered that we could take one horse at a time across pretty easily, but if a second horse started before the first horse was done or if two or three tried to go, the sound was so loud that it was a lot more upsetting.
Yeah.
I would not have thought of that. Good point. Yeah.
And when they move it off, they sway, forget it.
No.
Because, I mean, I've never even thought about riding Tevis, but I always, of course, follow Tevis. And I know they talk about their swinging bridge. And so I've always wondered if, we have to ask Karen that sometime to see if it really swayed. I mean, I can't even imagine.
Well, and you know, that got destroyed in the last year. So they had to route around it. Didn't she say, Jennifer? Yeah, that bridge was destroyed, and
they
were going to have to rebuild
it.
They were going to have to rebuild it. I don't know if they're rebuilding it for this year or not. We'll have to ask her that. It's a good question. Because it was one of the things that always gets talked about. Well, let's do this. Let's take a break for our commercial here coming up. I seem to have lost my show notes here. So it is one of those mornings. It seems like it should be a Friday morning.
Yeah, we're going to hear from Wave Gear. That's what we're going to do next.
Wave Gear. Yes, we are. And we'll be back. We have Dr. G back with us. It's going to be good to chat with her again.
I want to introduce you to Blake McLeod from Wave Gear. I have discovered some really awesome towels that he sells through his company, and I want him to tell you more about them.
Hi, Alice. Thanks so much for having me on your show. I appreciate all the love you've given our Waves Micro Towel. Just to let the audience know why we think they're the best towel on the market and why you think they're so awesome is, of course, their compact nature. These are full-size beach or travel towels that fold down to about the size of a slice of bread. So whether you're on a horse, or whether you're camping or just going to the beach, it takes up almost no space. And probably my other favorite feature with the Waves Micro Towel is the fact that they're so fast drying. They dry faster than regular cotton towels. Those are my two favorite things about the Waves Micro Towel. They're super lightweight, super compact, and fast drying. The Waves Micro Towel is available in two different sizes. Kind of our more travel and portable size is 2.5 feet by 5 feet. And the larger size, which we kind of call our beach towel, but people love them just the same, is the extra large towel, which is 3 foot by 6 foot. So it's a perfect towel whether you're going to the beach or if you're on the trail. But they're both fantastic. They come in three colors. We have a gray, bright orange, and a bright blue. So they're fantastic for pretty much anything that you're going to get into, whether it be on the trail or the beach. You'll look fantastic. You can find them at wavesgear.com. That's WAVESGEAR, wavesgear.com. athletes, I have created a $15 off coupon if they enter HORSE15 at checkout, and they will get $15 off their purchase. So hopefully your audience loves them as much as you do and as much as we do over at Waves Gear. So thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, Blake, for giving us that ad for Waves Gear. I really, really like these towels. They're really awesome.
I was just looking at them. I mean, they look great, and that's huge for a towel.
That's a cooler
it
for
is.
PT.
Yeah, that's right. It would be a cooler for my pony.
Well,
I'd have
what's
to fold
so
in
cool
half.
About them? Yeah, they're cool because, like, when you're trying to dry your horse off in a hurry, it's kind of like a squeegee almost. I mean, like, you know, you use your sweat scraper, but you know there's still a lot of water left. If you run the towel over, it sucks up all that extra moisture, and they get dry so much faster, and then the towel itself dries really fast.
Well, you know what, Jennifer, he offered a $15 off coupon code. We'll post that on our Facebook page as well. We're going to have to order some of these. This would be so nice. I hate using little crappy towels on the horses. It's like, give me a big towel. I want a big towel.
Glenn's a towel snob.
Yeah, I am. I am a snob. And I didn't know about Waves, so now we're going to have to order some.
Cool.
Check them out. All right, very good. Well, Dr. G looks like she's ready. You want to introduce her? Not that she needs an introduction, but you
well, can. Yeah, Dr. G, Dr. Rebecca Jimenez is with TALER. It's the large I'm messing this up. I'm so sorry.
It's fine. It's no big deal.
Large Animal Tentacle Emergency Rescue. There, I got it. And she joins us today to talk about emergencies on the trail.
I used to mess it up all the time.
I'm really glad
too,
to be
so
here.
Used to it. Aren't you, Dr.
all time. Well, I'm actually in Puerto Rico today for my military stuff, but I'm tickled pink to be able to get back on with you guys.
Before you start, before you get started here, guys, I wanted to just spend a minute with Dr. G because we had a lot of listeners that were asking what was up, and we explained to them that you had gotten deployed and that you were going to be heading overseas. Now, you've been doing some training, so tell everybody a little bit about, if you can, what you've been up to and what's going on.
It's no big secret. I'm not going to tell any national state secrets over the radio, but yes, I'm very excited. There is actually a communications battalion down in Puerto Rico. It's called the 35th Signal Battalion, and I'm very excited. I was offered a position there as the operations officer. So, of course, there's a lot of I'm not sure what's more work, actually getting deployed to the theater over in Southwest Asia, or all the preparation part. I think the preparation part is far more painful than actually going. So as you can imagine, we're trying to make sure we line up all the personnel and all of the equipment that we've got to be able to take. And that's been taking up a huge amount of my time, and that's why I'm down in Puerto Rico this week. I was lucky enough to go to a communications course for the last month that was up in Augusta, Georgia. So I actually haven't had a chance to spend much time with my horses, but I did see them last week and got them onto some safer grass. You know, in Georgia, I'm not sure if you guys have that problem in Florida, but in Georgia we get a big flush of grass early in the spring, and, you know, trying to keep your horses off of it is the biggest problem. So I very successfully did that before I had to come down here to Puerto Rico.
Well, if it gives you any indication, I'm looking at our two horses outside my window, and they both have muzzles on. Does that tell you something?
That's exactly what. Let me tell you, I've been watching you and Scooter, and I'm very proud of you guys. You look fantastic.
I know. Isn't he doing great, little guy?
I do think he could actually pull a chuck wagon. He might have to have a little help, but he could pull a chuck wagon.
I think Jennifer was right. Salads. It would be all lettuce. That's what would be in the chuck wagon.
Well,
be no steak
I saw that you posted that horrific wreck of the Budweiser Clydesdales the other day, and I was thinking about you and Scooter and wondering how you would respond to that. But after our six-month run of the TLR radio show, I think you've got a good idea how to handle it. And I was...
Yep.
Very
let me see if I remember. You scream, jump up and down,
no,
run around the
circle.
No, that's not it. Oh, okay. Sorry, I had it wrong.
No. And I guess that's, you know, on the subject of the Natrac rides and the trail riding and endurance rides, that's probably going to be the exact same thing I would say to the folks that are listening is, you know, you got to get a hold of yourself first and get control of the situation and realize that it's really not about the horse. It's about you and your perspective on it that's going to help you with the situation, especially in the cases where Alice is doing these things where, you know, you may be out there by yourself and there might not be another person come along for 5 or 10 minutes.
That's true. I know. Personally, I don't spend as much time riding alone as I would like to because I always worry about what if. But I have a lot of friends who ride alone and really like it. And I would be curious to hear some things that we could do to keep us safe when we are out there by ourselves.
Well, I've got some pretty good ideas, and a lot of it's based on I don't competitively trail ride, but over the years I've got thousands of miles on my horses. And I have found that there are some tips and tricks that are pretty simple, and a lot of your riders are probably already doing them. The first thing is you need a knife. You need a knife with you that's a good knife. That's not just to protect yourself if, God forbid, somebody tries to attack you, particularly females, but it's to be able to cut lines, cut ropes, cut things loose if something happens and the animal accidentally gets trapped in it. As we all know, the worst time is when they're tied to the trailer and or tied in the trailer and you have some problem. So a knife is one of the first things. And one of the big ideas that we have mentioned on numerous occasions in previous talks with Glenn and Jennifer is, you know, your saddle is your, once you've got your saddle on the horse, your saddle is potentially something that you can use to extricate your horse. You've got a handle on him, essentially. We don't want you pulling on his neck if he gets trapped in something or upside down or all the crazy things that can happen to horses on trails. Leave that saddle on him. It's possible that the emergency responders may be able to use that either as a pilot line to get a piece of webbing on him or even possibly a really high-quality saddle and girth. You may actually be able to use it as your attachment point to be able to extricate the horse out of something. They end up in the craziest things on trails. I've got all kinds of pictures of horses upside down in ditches. You know, they get turtled up where they can't get their feet underneath them. And that saddle, leave it on. Don't take it off. It's probably your best ability to be able to pull him out of something. And one of the other things that we encourage people to take with them is a nice length of either rope or webbing. It's nice to have a piece of webbing at least 2 inches or 3 inches in width, basically like a toe strap. If you've got room in your saddlebags to put that toe strap in there, you can pull your trailer out with it. You can pull your truck out of the mud with it when your buddy shows up and helps you get out of those kind of situations. And I know you guys have mud in Texas.
Yeah.
We do in Georgia. But you can also use it to manipulate that horse out of situations. You can help him get up. You can manipulate him backwards, forwards, sideways out of the situations that he may be in. And there's been numerous cases where people had another horse come along and they were able to use that piece of strap and use the horsepower from another horse to pull the other horse out of the situation they're in. So those are things, you know, that we would prefer not to have to do, but sometimes in the situations where we're on trail rides way back and you call 911 and they say, hey, we're coming, but we'll be there in 20 minutes and then we got to walk 2 miles, you may be more efficient using somebody else's horse to be the horsepower to get your horse out.
That makes sense. Can you tell me some ways that we could incorporate using TLR into a NATRC ride, an NATRC ride? Is there a way, like, are there people that we could call in the areas if we wanted to incorporate some of your people or techniques into our competitions?
Really, it's the techniques more than anything else. Many organizations, such as, you know, local organizations have started looking at having a little bit of equipment, and we're not talking buying thousands of dollars worth of equipment. We're literally talking about a toe strap, 30 feet long and 3 inches in diameter at the minimum. We're talking about having some boat hooks or canes that extend your reach to be able to handle things around animal feet. We're talking about having maybe it would be nice to have something that you can use as a blindfold, particularly for a down horse. I'm not a big fan of blindfolds on up horses, but down horses tend to beat the snot out of their heads while they're struggling to try to get up. And just your team that would normally go out and handle people issues can have some of that very basic equipment and a little bit of education about how to approach the animal, how to get the, you know, the honestly, the hardest part is dealing with the owner, because the owner gets very upset, very frantic for their animal. How do you deal with the owner? How do you keep them out of the danger zone around the animal and come up with a plan to manipulate the animal out of whatever you're doing? And, of course, educating your local fire department, your local 911 response people, whoever they may be. Sometimes it's fire rescue. Sometimes it's the EMS paramedics. Sometimes it's fire. Educating them that, hey, we're having this ride, and there's always a potential for some problem. How many of your NATRAC rides actually call the local jurisdiction ahead of time and say, hey, we're going to be out here. We're going to have 45 people doing a ride. If something happens, this is, you know, some of the concerns that we might have. Educate them ahead of time. And you'd be amazed how many rides, even some of the big rides like Rolex, et cetera, they're educating some of their folks that they're going to consider to be their first responders for both people and for animals.
It never occurred to me to call the local authorities. That's something I'm going to add to my list for next year for the competition. But what you said made me think of the fact that while we were doing our competition, there were also pleasure riders on the premises. And there were two accidents with pleasure riders on the premises while we were doing our competition. One happened in camp, and they called the EMTs and had to take him to the hospital. And the other one, we didn't see it happen, but this group of three guys wandered up, and one of the guys had fallen off his horse and clearly had a head injury, and we ended up running him back to camp where he declined the EMTs, but they were there. So but that was
really yeah. By making that phone call ahead of time, there are jurisdictions, I'll just tell you, because, you know, sometimes they look at horse people and they think we're a little crazy, because we are. but by making that phone call ahead of time, you've given them the opportunity to realize that there is a possibility of having an issue. And we know when you have that many people and horses out there doing something, there's always an opportunity for something to go wrong. And we're worried about the people first. We're worried about the animals second. But by having that cross-communication with your local jurisdiction at the 911 center, or having gone down and seen the chief at the local fire department, at least they're aware that there is a possibility of a situation happening. God forbid that something happens, but they can deal with the people first. You have a good plan for that, and then you go follow up from there from, hey, guys, you know, if we did have this problem and we had a loose horse, does that ever happen on these rides? Of course it does. If we have a loose horse and the horse gets out onto the four-lane highway, how are we going to respond to that? And, you know, just thinking through with your local fire chief, some of the worst-case scenarios that could happen that are related to trail riding, loose horses are a big one. A horse that's flipped over on a person or flipped over and can't get out are two of the big ones that occur. Having a plan for what we would do. You know, are we going to shut down the road? Are we going to call the sheriff's department? Try to prevent some of the finger-pointing that sometimes happens where you call the fire department and say, hey, we've got a loose horse on the road, and they say, well, that's not our problem, call the sheriff's department. Then you call the sheriff's department, and they mm-hmm. say, well, that's not our problem, call animal control. Well, it's everybody's problem if you've got a horse loose on the road, because it's not about the damn horse. It's about the people that could potentially be impacted by hitting that horse on the road. So those are just, you know, some of the concerns that we've seen in the past, and they can be mitigated just by making that phone call from your ride personnel that are putting on the ride, just making that phone call.
I assume falling off is the most common trail accident?
Yeah, slipping off trails. It doesn't have to be in the cliffs out west. You know, yes, those things do happen, but it is so common, even in Georgia and South Carolina, where I do most of my riding, it is so common for horses to just slip off the trail and fall down in a little. It doesn't have to be. In fact, a small ditch is worse than a big ditch, because a big ditch, they've got enough room to be able to fiddle around and manage to get back up. But those little small ditches, where they can slide over and their feet are up, or their feet are underneath them and they're on their side and they just can't get up. There have been cases of horses who have drowned, who've fallen into a little ditch like that, and their head is in the where the water is, and, of course, the water keeps coming, and it keeps filling the ditch, and people are panicking, and, unfortunately, they didn't get their horse out in time, and it drowned. We don't want that to happen. A lot of that just comes down to manipulation, and putting a rope around the neck is just not the solution. It's dangerous to the horse. You're going to cause all kinds of problems with that. Pulling on the bridle and the halter, you know what happens, Glenn. If you snatch on a horse's head on his reins or on his halter, what's he do? He throws his head back. He can't help
yep.
it. You would do it, too. If I snatched your helmet by the chin strap, you're going to throw your head back, too. It's called opposition reflex, and it's a natural reaction of all of us. So got to find better ways, and the best way is to somehow manipulate the body of the animal instead of his head.
And, you know, I think, actually, you brought up that video about the crash that the Budweiser Clydesdales had. And if anybody hasn't seen it, it's all over Facebook. You just look on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, and you'll see it where six horses ended up in a pileup. And I think everything you're talking about, they demonstrate. I mean, the crew did a tremendous job of staying calm and getting in there. I guarantee you every one of them had knives on them, big knives, because one of the things
yep.
you learn in driving is carry a knife with you because, you know, if your horse gets tangled up in the harness. They have quick-release harnesses on those horses like I have on mine. But sometimes they're tangled up in the part that's not quick release, and then you just
right.
have to start cutting straps.
And sometimes the quick release has pressure against it, and you can't pop the quick release.
That's right. That's right. I mean, it is a good thing to have, but you're right. If it's underneath the horse, you're also stuck.
That's right.
But they demonstrated, and those horses demonstrated a tremendous patience and just gave everybody that was commenting a new respect for draft horses. I kept telling people draft horses are the most calm, considerate horses that I've ever owned. And, boy, I'll tell you what, that video proved it right there.
They really did. That's the result of really good training and natural good disposition on the part of the horses. But what I really loved about that video was the guys were not panicking. They had to be terrified because you know that that's thousands of dollars worth plus your reputation as a company and their job and everything else is on the line. But it came out so well. And one thing I do want to point out about that video is when they got the first set loose, they kept them close to their buddies. They didn't take them out of the way because there's a fine line between having the horses too close and in the way of each other, but too far and the other animals will start to struggle to go to their herd. And they just it was textbook. You couldn't have done a better job of trying to release those horses. I was very impressed.
I want to get one of them on, actually, to discuss it, and we've had them on before, but I want to get them on to discuss if they actually trained, because it sure does. Everything they did was textbook. I mean, if you watch them walking around the horses as they were down, touching their butts, just everything they did was
yep.
textbook, and it looked like they had trained. You can't train for the pileup they had, but
exactly.
they obviously had trained for emergencies. I mean, I've never seen a pileup like that. Anyway, that's off of trail, but it was a good example of how not to panic. For sure.
I did want to say one thing related to trail riding and emergencies is, and I'm sure that Alice and her folks do it, but making sure that the obstacles that you're using, and you guys were mentioning bridges a little while ago, is making sure that those obstacles are very safe for animals. When you possibly take an animal that's never been across an open work bridge, across it, is there any way that he could possibly fall off? Trying to make it as safe as possible. There may be ways to mitigate that in certain situations, or you may say, hey, you know, this would be fun for me because I'm a really advanced rider, but for our not-so-advanced riders, is there a way to go around that obstacle and choose something that's a little less challenging? Because
no.
I'm sure
yeah,
Alice and I probably, we probably choose things and we say, woohoo, this would be fun, let's go slide down the hill, but how do you mitigate that for riders that might not be quite as advanced?
We look at all obstacles to see for safety. I mean, that's one of our first concerns is safety and the education of safety. So we would not take someone across something. I mean, if the team looked at it and said, this looks bad, we just wouldn't do it. I can't think of a bridge situation like that, but one of the places that I've done a trail challenge there's some challenging, there's some terrain that's a little challenging. And the lady who owns that property looked at it and said, you know, this doesn't look good, but if I turn the trail around and we go the other direction, it's not so bad. And so we ended up actually taking the trail backwards. I mean, because there was like a tree hanging over, and if you went one way, you'd have to like duck the tree and go down a hill. And for most everybody, it would have been fine. But going the other way, there was no problem because the horse wasn't like in a hurry going down a hill with a branch hanging over. So
that's exactly what I'm talking about. That's the perfect mitigation for a lot of these issues.
So, yeah, we always try to keep an eye on everything to make sure it's safe because nobody wants a hurt rider. It's a lot of paperwork. It's unhappy for everybody. A lot of paperwork.
And the thing is,
spoken,
you know,
like a hurt ride organizer.
There's two places on any organized ride, and I don't care if you're going to a fox hunt or you're going to a horse show or you're going to a trail ride. There's two places that you have these problems with animals doing the dumb things that horses do sometimes. And the first one is we think of on the trail. But honestly, the most dangerous place for your horse is the loading and unloading portion at the trailhead. And that's where we see horrific numbers of injuries. Glenn, I was going to tell you, I just did a lecture recently for a bunch of equine veterinarians, and I asked about 60 people in the room, I said, how much of your business do you think is related to animals, horses, hurting themselves in trailers, loading in trailers, or unloading from trailers? And the general consensus in the room was somewhere between 40 and 45%. Of the injuries that they see coming into their clinics are horses that have somehow hurt themselves loading, unloading, or inside the trailer. Now, we're not talking about trailer wrecks on the interstate flipping over and stuff. We're talking about just in the trailer, does something stupid, puts his foot over something, goes over the chest bar, hangs his head in the hay net and freaks out, all those kind of things when they just panic. And so
I just want to remind
listeners that, you know, the process of loading, unloading, you're thinking, oh, my goodness, I'm worried about my horse on the trail. But really, getting him there and getting him home is some of the most dangerous part of your trail ride.
I totally believe that. How many times have any of us that have trailered a lot, how many times have, you know, we've had horses upside down, you know, when we've gotten there? I mean, just bizarre things. And it's always the bizarre stuff that happens when you're trailering. It's stuff you would never think that the horse could even do. How do you do
that?
Well,
there's a couple of things that I will tell you that, you know, we're talking about mitigation and what people can do to be more proactive and try to prevent some of these things. And obviously, anybody that's had a horse for longer than 3 weeks is going to say, make sure your horse knows how to load and he's comfortable with loading. And there's no excuse these days for not having a horse load and unload safely because there's plenty of trainers out there to teach you how to do it yourself. But beyond that, there's a couple things like making sure that your trailer, when you go in it yourself, before you even put your horse in it, make sure your trailer is a safe place for your horse. Now, that sounds crazy, Glenn, but you would not believe how many people's trailers I walk into, and there's chains hanging that you know are going to be clanking while they're driving down the road. There's loose or broken pieces inside the trailer. My own big, fat, butted Appaloosa recently, he bent one of my butt bars. Well, that's because he was scratching his tail and leaning on it or sitting on it, one or the other, I don't know. So now I got to get the dang thing fixed. You got to make sure that the maintenance of your trailer has been done on the inside for the horse where he could be impacted, but also is everything lubricated? Do the gates move? If you got to move them and your horse is flipped upside down because he was being stupid, can you move the dang gate out of the way, or is it rusted in place? How many people actually go out and lubricate everything in their trailer and make sure there's nothing wiggling or that can impact the horse? How many people are making sure, especially this time of year when we're getting into spring riding season, how many people have made sure, you know, I know I sound like an old saw. Have you made sure that there's sufficient air in your tires so that your tires don't blow while you're driving down the road? Have you made sure that you've got quality axles and tires on your trailer? I mean, you're putting your babies in there. Why would you put cheap ST tires on your trailer? Why would you have one axle trailer? There's no excuse in life for having a one axle trailer.
Oh, you
why
know
would
what?
You have
Dr.
a?
G, I got to tell you, we would have had dead horses had we had a one axle trailer, because one of our bearings did seize up and the wheel came off the trailer. If we had had four wheels on that trailer, it would have been bad, and we probably would have killed several people around us on the highway that day.
That's exactly right. And It's dangerous enough that the wheel came off. It's happened to me. The wheel came off for the exact same reason, and we lubricate our bearings and those kind of things, but we lost a wheel one time, and I was just thanking goodness that there was nobody that got killed, because that thing came flying off and went across two lanes of traffic and ended up in the weeds. Yep. I mean, it could have killed somebody.
Scared the crap out of those other drivers.
Exactly. But those are the kind of things where, you know, we have a responsibility to other people around us as well as to our horse. You know, how many people, a lot of people will tell you, well, I don't balance my tires on my trailer. Well, the reason you can't balance the tires on your trailer is because you have such poor quality axles, tires, and wheels that the trailer place won't balance them for you. But if you have the good quality axles, tires, and wheels, they can actually balance them. And the most eye-opening thing in the world is to get in the back of your trailer and have somebody drive you down the road and listen and feel what it feels like for your horse when you're in the trailer. Put your hands behind your back and don't lean against the sides. Now you feel like a horse feels. How easy is it for you to balance yourself? Yeah. Anyway,
hey,
those are things.
Dr. G,
go ahead.
Thank you so much. It's been good talking to you again. We've run out of time.
I really appreciate you having me on this morning.
No problem, and good luck, and thank you for serving. What rank are you anyway, by the way?
I'm a major.
Look at you, big time.
Wow.
Whatever. You know
what?
If she gets any higher than that, people are going to be bowing to her.
No. But I do appreciate you guys having me on, and I appreciate your thanks for our service. There's a lot of people that are listening right now that are veterans, combat veterans, and have served their country, and we thank all of them for their service.
Thank you, Dr. G. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
I missed Dr. G. I forgot how much fun it was to chat with her, and she's just a wealth of information. And I like that she doesn't pull any punches. Dr. G just tells us the way it is. Forget about your horse. He's going to kill about three people on the highway. So let's solve that problem, you know? I do like Dr. G. Thank you for getting her on, Alice. That was great.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, let's take a break for our song. We have one of the guys who rides more miles than anybody I know. He also sings. He was a bronc rider. He just recently got married, has a lovely wife, works for the government counting elk. I think it's elk. In the middle of the mountains and rides out, does not do it by four-wheeler, but does it by horse, camps out there all week long and many weeks of the year, spends by a campfire in the middle of the woods all by himself. His name is Jared Rogerson. He has a great voice, and this is a song called Sweetwater. We'll be right back after this to talk about another way you can protect yourself on the trail.
About it too. So they fired up Billy's beat up truck and left right out of school. With millions of people out of work, wondering what to do. Money doesn't grow on trees, so they got down on their knees in that sweet water flowing down through the rocks. I'm looking for the prize in a Cracker Jack box. And they'd smoke some pot and pan for gold. These facts are stories that I've been told. Living that California dream in Wyoming. They say it takes money. Make a lot of money. Well, Billy and Nelly
kind of like looking for the prize in a Cracker Jack box. And they'd blow some pot in the pan for gold. At least that's the story that I've been told. Living that California dream in Wyoming. Now Nellie's got a Corvette. Billy bought a new pickup truck. Some think they robbed the bank. Now others say they were dealing drugs. They didn't go for a higher education. Never needed a real vocation. They don't worry about anything. They still get down on their knees in that sweet water, flowing down through the rocks. Cracker Jack box, and they pray to God and pan for gold. Now the real story has been told. Living that California dream in Wyoming. Living that California dream.
That's Jared Rogerson and the song Sweetwater. You can find all of his music by going to jaredrogerson.com. He also plays a lot of concert dates around the Midwest. So if you want to hear him in concert, just head over to jaredrogerson.com. Also, you can find him on iTunes. Just search for Jared Rogerson. All of his music is on there ready for you to purchase. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek, and I am here with Alice today. We are doing the annual. I keep wanting to say annual. We're doing the monthly trail riding episode. Sorry about that, Alice. We're doing the monthly trail riding episode here on Horses in the Morning, brought to you by the North American Trail Ride Conference and Ride Alert. Coach Jen is in the producer chair. I wanted to remind, if you're a new listener to the show, if you're listening for the first time and you're a trail rider, we are here every morning, 9 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, here at Horses in the Morning. We do all kinds of different chat about horses. It's very much a morning show, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I'm joined by Jamie Jennings, host, my co-host of the show. She was a former DJ for 10 years in the Atlanta area, and she's a horse girl and a venter, and we have a good time chatting about horses with all kinds of guests. So please tune in every day. The best and easiest way to listen to the show, you can't listen to it live this way, but to the recorded version immediately after, is to get our app. And the app, you just go to the iOS or Android App Store and search for Horse Radio Network. We have 11 different shows you can listen to on the app at Horse Radio Network. Just download it. It's free and it's easy. All right, our next guest is here. If you'd like to introduce her, Alice.
Yes, our next guest is Teresa McManus of Ride Alert. She is an accomplished equestrian who spent over 20 years in Europe honing her riding skills and riding under some well-respected trainers and equestrians in Spain. Her greatest achievement is perhaps when she trained the British Modern Pentathlon team in show jumping, leading to the team winning the Olympic bronze medal in Seoul, Korea in 1988. Today, she runs her own equine business in Virginia, where she instructs riders, trains horses, and coaches competitors. And she is the marketing director for Ride Alert.
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning.
It's my pleasure.
So, Teresa, tell me a little bit about what Ride Alert is.
Well, Ride Alert is an emergency ID and support center for both horse and riders. What Ride Alert does is we actually, in case of any incident, any accident, we will contact the rider's next of kin. we relay details, medical information, any allergies, anything that the first responder or whoever finds you on the trail would need to know. If your horse gets loose, it runs away, we will contact the owners when the horse is found. You can actually call the center and say, my horse is gone. Give them a heads up so that they will be ready for it. We also, if you're driving in your car to and from a show or anything as such, and you have, God forbid, an accident, we will contact, once we give the first responders all your information, if you put the information in the website, we will actually contact people to go back to the barn, take care of your horses, what is happening. We actually will take care of the situation for you if you give us the information that we need to have.
Wow, that's very comprehensive. I can't believe that I had not heard of this product until just earlier in the week when we started talking about it. Can you tell me a little bit about how you found Ride Alert and what caused you to feel like it was such an important and valuable product?
Well, to be honest with you, it was a gift given to me probably about 2 years ago now. And as you say, I am a very competent rider. I school, I train, I do all kinds of what most people would consider dangerous riding. And as a gift, I thought, oh, isn't this a nice gesture that the owners gave me? And I put it in a drawer where it sat for almost a year. And last September, I was out riding with a friend of mine, who I never ride alone. I was riding with her, and we were schooling a young horse up a hill, and three dogs came out of the woods under my horse's legs. And the horse, of course, spooked like crazy. She had boots on. They didn't come off, but they stayed attached to her, and she bucked, and my back end and the saddle became separated. As I was lying on the ground in a lot of pain, I was taken away, got to the hospital, found out I couldn't ride for the next 6 months because I did a lot of damage to my legs. And as I was sitting at home going through things, my husband, you know, would bring me a drawer and say, why don't you clean this, why don't you clean that? I found my Ride Alert package, and I started going online just to see what it could have done, and I was amazed at everything that I could have had in there, how it would have been easier for my riding partner. She knew nothing about my medical history, because that's not what we talk about when we're out riding. She knew nothing about any allergies I had or the fact that I'm Rh negative if I had needed a blood transfusion. And I'm sitting there thinking, my God, if I had been knocked out and I was unconscious and I couldn't have talked to her, what would have happened to me? And when I saw what Ride Alert could do for such a small amount of money, I got very excited. And I actually called the owners and I said to them, you know, I'd like to see what it can do for me as a trainer in my yard. And I purchased a few on a wholesale basis and then retailed them to my clients. And my insurance man, when he saw, because his daughter rides with me, was very impressed and said, you know, I think the insurance companies will lower your rate, which they did. So I then called back and I explained to the owners, I am the general public. I am the person who does not feel they need this bracelet because I never have an accident. I'm a good rider. And I said to them, I need to help you explain to people, it's not what if, it's when. And there is always a when, and we don't want it to happen, but it will happen. So I have been on the road with Ride Alert for the last few months trying to explain to people that it can happen to you, and you owe it to your horses, you owe it to your family and friends, and all the animals on your farm to make sure that you have a crisis plan ready that if something happens that they will be taken care of when you're home. Our product
Teresa,
is... Go ahead.
Before you go on, can you explain the process? So what happens? What exactly is it and what happens? So if I decide, okay, I want Ride Alert today, what are the steps?
What you do is you go online and you go to ridealert.us. And when you go on to ridealert.us, you register. You would go in for a new account, you would register, and then you would go to the store and you would purchase an arm bracelet and a bridle tag or whatever you want. As of right now, we actually have for the next 28 days, we have a special going on that for every member that goes on to Ride Alert right now and buys either a single pack or a triple pack, will actually include an extra bridle tag for people. And once you go on, you control your information. You can go onto the website under every category and fill in as much information as you want on there. What I recommend for people is that they at least put on an emergency contact in any medical problems that they actually have. But you can get it. You can become as complete an information as you want on there. If you went to my website, my Coggins, my shot records, everything is on there for my horses, what they eat, who their vets are, for my dogs also. So you can become as informative as you want or as little information as you want. And what I like people to know is that this product is over 10 years old in Great Britain, where it's used by a lot of the great riders, Mary King and such, and it was actually brought to this country 2 years ago for an organization that needed to have identification on both horse and riders when they sent their people out to ride.
So the idea is if somebody finds you on the ground, whether it's somebody you know or don't know, could be either, they will call this number, and it's the people at the other end of the line that have the information.
Yes, sir. There is no information on your band, so that there are no personal information that the general public can pick up. You have a unique ID number on your bracelet that coordinates to your website that you have set up online. So when the person calls with that phone number and gives your ID number, the 24/7 call center will actually go to that site immediately and relay the information that you want relayed back.
Okay. And so it's important that you said, I mean, it's pretty much useless unless you set up the information online. You really need to take the time to do that after you buy it.
Exactly. I mean, it's not going to do you any good if you have it and you haven't put any information in there.
Right.
And the one thing that people need to realize is not only is it helpful if you're on your horse's back. What if you're driving and you're in your car, your husband and yourself, in my case, we live on a farm. What if something happened to me and my husband and I were in the car and we got hit? Who's going to go home and take care of my horses? Who knows enough if we're taken to a hospital that I have four horses, dogs, cats, ducks, and chickens on the farm to feed them? Because they're not going to call my neighbors. They're not going to tell my neighbor I'm there, and my neighbor's not going to come over to actually look at the horse. But if somebody calls Ride Alert, gives them my number, they have a list of questions that they are to ask the person who calls so that they know on the other end what to execute. So they would ask, is Mrs. McManus traveling alone? Is her husband with her? Does she have horses? Because in every one of those scenarios, there is something else that they have to do on the other end. So what it does is the first responder, the person who finds you, is not responsible for getting a hold of your next of kin. The 24/7 call center, when they hang up after giving your medical information, will take care of calling who you need.
Okay. That makes sense. Yep.
Oh, Teresa, didn't you also tell me that there's an iPhone and Android app that ties into all this as well?
Yes, we do. We have an iPhone and Android app that is censored by motion. So if you turn it on, you can buy it from either store. It's very cheap. It's $7.99. You own it for life. And you get one free emergency contact with it, which I hope you never need to use. And what happens is when I go out to ride, I turn the app on, and as I'm moving, any movement, the app is fine. It doesn't do anything. If I stop, and I am stopped for more than a minute, actually 30 seconds, it starts counting down 1 minute. At the 1 minute mark, it sends me a siren and says, are you just talking with someone, or is there a problem? And the siren goes off, and if I move and activate it, it's fine. If I don't move, in the next minute after that siren goes, it will actually call my husband, who is my buddy on there, with an emergency, call the 24th center, the emergency center, and it will call 911 in the local area and give them my exact GPS location and that I'm in trouble. Now, I have it set up for those three people. You set it up for whoever you want and however you want it. So my husband and everyone receives not only a text, they also receive an email with a map location of where I am.
So if you're somebody who rides alone, this would be a perfect thing to carry with you.
Yes, and I ride horses, as I said, I train a lot of horses that are spooky or have issues, and what I have done, people will say, well, that's just what I need is an alarm going off in the back of the horse. Easy way to solve that. I go in to groom a horse, turn it on while I'm grooming, and if I'm grooming one area too long, the alarm goes off, I move again. The horses become very desensitized to the noise. And it's a wonderful thing to desensitize them with as you have it on you. And so when you're on their back or you are out riding, if it does go off because you're sitting chatting with your friends, there's no issue with it. And it is a wonderful tool that if you are hurt and you're on your own and you're out on a trail, or there's a panic button. Let's say you're on a trail ride with your buddy and you do come off. You can hit the panic button and you don't know exactly where you're located. What will happen is it will send back an alarm to your buddy list with your location so an ambulance could get to you.
That's cool. That would be really useful. I can think of a couple of times I could have used that in the past.
It's a wonderful thing. We do have right now for the North American Trail Riding Conference, we actually have for them right now, and anyone who's listening to the show, we have a single pack and triple pack with, as I said, with an extra ID device that we're going to be giving away to people who sign up for the next 28 days. But we also have what I consider right now going on till the end of June, kind of a fun initiative. What we would like is anyone, NATRC or other people, if they want to send pictures in of themselves riding with the arm bracelet and the bridle tag on in a competition or show of some sort, so they have their penny on or their numbers or whatever, and they send it in, what we're going to do is we're going to offer a prize. We'll be doing this at the end of June. We're going to give them a further 3-year membership and a Ride Alert saddle pad. Plus, what we're going to do is we'll use them in a nationwide advertising campaign so they can have their pictures up there, and we will use them for advertising.
Wow, that's pretty neat. I bet you get a lot of photos from all of us as we do our rides in May and June, and because we have a lot of competitions coming up, so I bet you get a lot of pictures.
I hope so, and it's a lot of fun. The bracelets are non-obstructive, so it's just a little bracelet you wear on your arm, and the bridle tags are actually quite nice. And so they're not flimsy. They look well on the horses, and I think that people would be really surprised at how inexpensive we are and how much we actually can provide for you and your family and your safety. And the membership, which people don't realize, is $24.99 a year, but that's the whole family. That is not per person. That means if you buy a membership, you can buy bands for everyone in the family, bridle tags for everyone in the family, and I actually have bridle tags on my dog, so they have it. So I just went in and bought more devices, put them on everyone, and everyone is covered for $24.99 a year. And once you've bought your devices, that's it. You're done.
I'm just looking. I was just looking at the prices on here, and I was actually surprised that they were that low. I was expecting to be much higher when I came on here.
Well, and here's the other thing. I'm going to be honest with you. I had when it was given to me, I thought, for $24.99, what is it going to do for me? All right? And that's why it went into a drawer. And when I went online and saw how easy it was and how comprehensive you can actually make it, remember, guys, you control the information. You control the questions that the call center will ask the person who finds you. And, of course, once you have an accident as bad as I did, you start thinking of different scenarios. And that's where I thought, my God, what if I am in a car? Who will go home and take care of my animals? If my husband and I are traveling and we're gone for a day, I don't have somebody sitting at home here taking care of them. Who would go back if he and I were taken to a hospital? How long would my dog be in the house before someone would find the dog? Who would give my horses water if they need it? You know, all of these things started to go through my mind on how would I protect my animals who are in my charge when I'm not there, and I realized I could do it for $24.99 a year. So I ended up, as I said, deciding I have to teach the public, help them understand it will happen someday, God forbid. Be prepared. Be ready.
All right. Very good. It is ridealert.us. Ridealert.us is the website that you want to go to. Thank you, Teresa, for joining us. We appreciate it. I didn't know much about this either, so I'm glad that you were on.
All right, well, one more thing for the North American Trail Ride Conference. They have their own website, so it is www.ridealert.us/NATRC. So they have their own page that they can go on and buy from. So I look forward to seeing you all there, and I hope you ride smart, ride safe, but most of all, I hope you all ride alert.
And there's
Thank
a special
you.
Member price, the special member price for the NATRC I see on there too. So that's terrific.
Yes.
And Jennifer, we'll post that link also on our Facebook page so that everybody can find it. Thanks, Teresa.
Thank you, folks. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, we just wanted to say that anybody can use that website. They don't have to be a member of NATRC to go to the ridealert.us/NATRC. So anyone can go and check it out.
Very good. And there is a discount on there. It comes down to $17 a year. So, I mean, that's just not even thinking about it. That is a quarter to an eighth of a tank of gas now. Unfortunately.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, I haven't done my Glenn's Tech Pick of the Week, so I'll do it today. There is, on this line, there is an app that you can get for your phone. This is actually put out by some guys in England, and it's called View Ranger. And what it does is it gives you maps on you. You know how when you go to the maps on your phone when you're trail riding and stuff, you get the roads. It's very good at showing you roads, but it's not very good at showing you off-roads, depending on which map program you use. This one provides you the topographical maps of the places you are going on your phone. So it gives you the layout, it gives you the height, and it gives you everything you want to know topographically, like the old topographical maps that we used to use 100 years ago. It provides those on your phone, and you can set waypoints and routes. You can pick your route. And what's cool is it's really made for people who horseback ride, who bike ride, who hike, because this is for the off-road stuff. This is really backwood stuff. And it tracks you using the GPS on your phone. It tracks you where you are. Now it's providing you a signal. It tracks you where you are. And, you know, where you're going and that kind of thing. So occasionally when you come in and out of signal, but you get back into signal, it should show you where you went wrong. So that is an app called View Ranger. It's available on iOS or Android as well. So there's my tech pick of the week, View Ranger. So there's a lot
cool.
of cool stuff, you know, for trail riders. There's a lot of technology, and smartphones are truly becoming a help for trail riders nowadays. That GPS in your phone is something that as more and more of these cool apps come out, there's no reason it should get lost anymore. All of those things should be so much easier now than they were before.
Yeah. It's nice because when you've been somewhere, you can load a map. Or, like, instead of having a paper map, you can actually load a map into a GPS to give riders so they can see where they're going on their GPS or their phone.
Right. And I'm sure that they use that. The trail masters use it, and you know, it's probably really handy for them. Jennifer just put yes. Getting lost is easier than ever. How true. Well, tell us what's coming up on the calendar.
Well, May and June are prime riding months, so we have lots of things on the calendar. The entire calendar can be found at natrc.org. But here are some highlights. This coming weekend in Kansas at Hillsdale Lake, there is a ride there. That's in Region 6. And then Memorial Day weekend, there is a ride in Colorado at the Air Force Academy and at John Zink Ranch in Sand Springs, Oklahoma. And those are always fun because since it's a holiday weekend, you can kind of hang out an extra day. It doesn't have to rush off quite as quickly. June 7th and 8th, there is the Arkansas Traveler Ride in Dover, Arkansas. And then there's a ride the weekend after that in Missouri called the Flying R Ranch Ride in West Plains, Missouri. And those are just a few because there are a bunch of rides right now. Colorado will start having most of their rides. This is their prime riding time. So June and July are very busy months in the middle part of the United States.
It's the 2 months that they don't have snow. So that's why
exactly.
The rides are happening. Hey,
and
we...
they're beautiful.
Go ahead.
So.
Yeah,
oh, so the
yeah,
rides
imagine.
In Colorado were just beautiful because I got to go
imagine.
To one a couple years ago, and it was gorgeous.
Yeah, there's no other views like that. Well, not here in the United States, anyway. Well, we are going to call it a day. Thank you so much to Alice for joining us. If you missed the last NATRC show, then you want to go back to horsesinthemorning.com and go back to April the 17th was the last show. We talked about budget horse camping and trail horse and rider fitness. So, and also the NATRC joins us on the third Thursday of every month. I got that right, right? Third Thursday. Yep.
Yeah.
The third Thursday of every month, and you'll be back again next month. We appreciate that. And we always learn something when we're on these shows, and I am so glad that you do join us. If you're looking to win something that you could take on the trail with you, something from Outback Trading Company, then hop on over to Craigslist today. Find some really bad, poorly written ads for horses or equipment and send them off to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Put really bad ads in the subject line. Copy and paste the whole ad into the email. Send it in, and we do that every Friday at 10 o'clock. Our most popular segment we do here on Horses in the Morning is Jamie and I poking a little fun at Craigslist ads, and the winner will win that prize from Outback Trading Company. I think that's about it. Why don't you give the website for the NATRC one more time?
The NATRC can be found at www.natrc.org.
Thank you, everybody. Ride safe. Be careful out there. Thank you, Alice.